TSN International presents To Every Man an Answer, the live Bible answer program that equips you to give a reason for the hope that lies within you. If you have a question on the Bible or the Christian faith, you can call us at 1-888-827-5276. That's 1-888-ASK-CSN. Now let's get things started. Here's today's host.
Aloha, everyone. This is Pastor Gerald Skinner of Calvary Chapel Pearl Harbor, filling in for Pastor Mike Kessler, and we're looking forward to a great program on To Every Man an Answer. We love to hear from you, your calls, your questions, whether it be about God, about life, about the Bible, about something you've heard on the radio or in church, and you're going, is that true? Maybe it's in the news. Whatever it might be, give us a call. We'd love to talk to you and hear from you and be able to hopefully give you a good answer, a good biblical answer from God's word, and bless your hearts. You know, these are exciting days that we're living in. We know we're living in the last days. Keep Israel in your prayers, of course, and what their battles going on over there against Hamas, the terrorist groups, Hezbollah also, and of course, Iran. We know it's fulfilling the last day scenario. We see all these things taking place. And as we do this, we also recognize that these are times to be a good witness of Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. Share your faith with family, with friends who are not saved. Get them to church, invite them to hear the word of God, and let's go for God in these last days, as many people are in need of salvation, and God has called us to preach the gospel to all the whole world. So anyway, it's great to be with you, and today we have a very special guest, Brad Dacus. He's on usually, I believe, on Fridays. He's out with me today on Thursday, and Brad is with the Pacific Justice Institute. He does a phenomenal job dealing with the so many legal aspects of our Christian faith and so forth, and our defense. And Brad, it's great to have you on board, and looking forward to conversing with you, having conversations about what's going on legally, if you will, with our country and so forth, and many things that are happening. So, Brad, welcome.
Oh, it's great to be on the program with you. And, yeah, I'm looking forward to what God's going to do on the show today.
You know, Brad, one thing that we've have been battling as a society, if you will, I think we're battling anyway as a Christian church, is this transgender movement and all this that's connected with the alphabet soup of the gay agenda, if you want to call it that, and so forth, because so many of this pronoun stuff of he, she, is they're trying to extinguish, and the confusing to little children, the next thing you have is the hormone blockers, and I just recently heard that England has now banned hormone blockers and so forth for children, which is an excellent, excellent move on their part. I hope our country will do the same. And so what is your perspective on this when you look to the legalese of dealing with this aspect within our own country? And, of course, it's very much affecting women's sports, which I'm surprised all ladies have not risen up in great arms, as well as men, of course. And said, you know, get these men out of ladies' sports. Ladies need to compete with ladies, men with men. And I feel like if the transgenders want to compete, let them compete against themselves. So, you can't be having a testosterone man put on a dress and a wig and makeup, then compete on the girls' side and say, I'm a woman, and they're beating up girls in basketball and winning in swimming and all these other things. So what do you see as a direction of our country at this present time?
Yeah, it's really bifurcated in different directions. So a number of states, more than a dozen, have already passed laws like England banning any hormone blockers, any surgeries to cut off body parts, you know, for identity purposes, have completely banned that. That number is growing. We think that pretty much most, if not all, of the red states, if you will, those freedom-loving states in our country, will probably pass laws to protect children from those who are wished to, for whatever reason, lead them in that direction, which causes permanent sterilization, serious depression issues, exponentially increases their risk of suicide. It's not a happy ending. It's a very tragic ending that is something that we as Christians, with the love of Christ, we cannot be complacent. We cannot ignore. So that's on the good side. Also, we at Pacific Justice Institute have been working through our legislative council office, and we've been working with six states. We got six states that we testified before to adopt laws not letting biological males to compete in female sports or go into female locker rooms when the women are in there, the young girls are in there. So we're making headway on the legislative side, but we're also making a lot of headway in the courts. Like right now we're defending a Christian-owned Korean women's spa up in Olympus, Washington. This kind of a spa, Korean spas are where people don't wear clothes. So, it's very important you have only the women in there and not the men. Well, this man comes in and you know what happened? He says, "Hey, I feel like I'm a woman. I want to go in there." They said no. He reports it to the Washington State Human Rights Commission. And this is sort of like George Orwell, where the word means something opposite of what it actually is. They're really the oppressor commission because they went and filed a lawsuit to shut down this Christian-owned, family-owned business because they wouldn't let a man go into a room where there's naked women and their teenage daughters. So we're representing that business. We're representing teachers who said, "Not on my watch. I'm not going to lie to parents. I'm not going to groom children to change their gender behind the backs of parents." Of course, the pronoun issue is becoming a big issue. We're litigating that across the country in Michigan and Oregon and other states, New Jersey. So it's an interesting time. I personally think, Pastor, I think that America is waking up to it. Parents are waking up to it. And I think it's going to be reflected in this upcoming election this November.
I agree with you 100%. I see that happening across our nation also. And I'm very blessed. And if I could use the word proud of you, that you've taken the steps to get involved, to not be someone on the sidelines, sitting on the bench watching the world go by, but you want to get involved and come to the defense of Christians and help us through these difficult times where they're always looking for a way to come against, whether it be society or against the Christian church, to destroy us. I know ourselves, we went through a pro-life situation with our pro-life center, and it went all the way to the Supreme Court, and thank goodness we won the freedom of speech issue. And so it's we see how important it is to have good, solid Christian attorneys and Christian law organizations involved in defending our faith and standing up for the Constitution of these United States. It's amazing to me that we're supposed to lie to kids and say, "Well, you're really not a boy, you're a girl," when their DNA, they're actually a boy. We cannot do that as Christians. We cannot lie to people. Teachers cannot lie. And they're in a tough situation in the classroom, but they cannot lie. And we have to tell kids the truth. You're a boy. In the not too recent past, it was called gender dysphoria. And then they would get psychological help for the gender dysphoria. But now the world has flipped it around, and those of the liberal sense, they want to say that we're prejudiced, we're haters, and everything else. And that is far from the truth. We know, we studied the results, as you just shared, from depression to suicide to alcoholism to drug addictions and so forth is very prevalent, one, in the homosexual community, even just as, if not more prevalent, in the transgender community. It's very destructive to an individual's soul and their body. And we want to come alongside and say, "Hey, there is a way out. His name is Jesus. He'll touch your heart. He'll heal your life. He'll forgive you your sins." Like all of us, we have had the same thing happen to us, right? We're all forgiven. And God has a great plan for your life. No matter what you've done to your body, God has a plan. But once you're born a boy, you're always going to be a boy. Once you're born a girl, you're always going to be a girl. Folks, we have some phone lines, just a couple phone lines open still, about three of them. And you can give us a call at 1-888-ASK-CSM. When you do call, we have some very special pamphlets and DVDs available for you. We love to give you and love for you to share your faith with others through these DVDs and pamphlets and to help you grow in the Lord Jesus Christ. Hey, Brad, why don't we just at this time, let's go to the phones real quick. We have Peyton on the line. Peyton from Haver, is it Haver? Montana, I believe it is. Havre, I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing it right. Havre, Montana. How you doing, Peyton? What's up? How can we help you out?
Oh, hey, I would just kind of had a question or just wanted to see if you guys had heard about the solar eclipse that's happening on the 8th of April. I had seen online a video, and then I read an article basically pointing out like a lot of prophetic signs that go along with that eclipse. I think it's passing through like seven or eight different towns in the U.S. named Nineveh. And then when you look at the path of this eclipse compared to the one that happened in 2017, it makes the shape of a, like an X shape across the U.S., which I guess is very similar to a Hebrew letter called the Tav that apparently was meant completion in the Hebrew language. I just want to see if you guys have heard about that, what your takes might be. I mean, I know there's a lot of stuff on the internet that's pretty out there, but the little bit of reading I did on it, it seemed like it was a pretty obvious sign from God. You know, I mean, he told us he would use the sun and the moon for signs. So.
Well, Peyton, I'm going to ask Brad. Brad, are you into solar eclipses? You know, I did read a little bit about it, but do you have any response regards to solar eclipses?
Well, when I was a boy, I actually charted sunspots for my science fair project. You know, I loved astronomy. That said, I just don't see enough clarity in terms of connection with regard as far as the scriptures. I haven't researched it in all fairness, but usually things that are dealing with astronomy, and they, and in the past, I've seen attempts to try to make presumptions, like when all the planets were aligned and that this is going to be it, you know, this is the end and Christ is coming. So, you know, I find it interesting. I would read an article on it, but I wouldn't base any of my life decisions in any way on it. It's just far too speculative, and I don't believe it's supported with clear clarity. And my attitude is that if something was really significant, something that God really wanted us to know, we'd probably find it clearly paralleled in some way in His Word. And I just don't, I personally don't find it. That said, I haven't studied it like our caller has. I'm not shutting the door on it. I just am, not putting any weight into it. And I think it's very careful that we not do anything that would invest our time, resources, or money based on reliance on something like this.
Yeah, you know, Peyton, in my perspective, I've come across a lot of items that come across my desk, and we had the blood moons and so forth a few years ago, and the Lord is, these are signs, and solar eclipses and so forth. I think the greatest sign that we have is what we find in the Word of God. What does the Bible say? And there's certain ministries, they can really, what's the word I'm looking for? They can almost strenuously exaggerate some things that they see, and they make up stuff. And it's unfortunately, sometimes it's for hits on the internet to bring themselves more fame or money, whatever it might be. And I think it's important for us just stay in the Word of God. The Lord has told us the great sign of His soon coming, which is the nation of Israel becoming a nation once again, or Israel becoming a nation once again. And that, of course, took place in 1948. They got the Jerusalem in 1967. He says, within that generation, I'll be returning. So we know we're close. We're close. And also the signs of the alliances we see today from the book of Ezekiel, chapter 38. We read also that there'll be an alliance between Russia, Iran, which is known in the Old Testament as Persia, along with Turkey and the Muslim countries, and so forth. And there's going to be an invasion coming to Israel. So we see these alliances taking place. We know, we also read about the earthquakes in various places and the increase thereof, as well as the pestilences, as well as nation against nation and kingdom against kingdom. All these things from Matthew 24 we see happening. We see false prophets, we see false Christ, false religious systems, and so forth. All those things are happening. And Jesus says also that lawlessness will abound in the last days. We see all of this. It'll also be like the days of Noah and days of Sodom and Gomorrah. We see all these things. Mm-hmm. So these are the things that I really bank on, and what God has given us through His Word. Solar eclipse, it's fascinating. We've had many, though. So I think the main thing for all of us, though, is we see all these things happening throughout our world right now. What are we to do? What are we to do? Keep soul winning, my friends. Keep soul winning. Keep reaching out with the gospel. Some of these events can be maybe many tools to strike up conversations and so forth. but you don't want to bank on it, because if it doesn't come to pass, then it looks like the rest of what we've spoken is not true. And that's what we have to be careful of when it comes to sharing our faith, that our witness is always from the Word of God, not somebody's speculation, or as Brad aptly said, presumption. And so those are important aspects. But Peyton, it's interesting. We know we're living in the last days. We know the Lord's coming soon. We know the rapture is right around the corner, the Great Tribulation and the Antichrist, and the Mark of the Beast. All those things will come to pass because the Bible says so. Hopefully, did that help you out, Peyton?
Yeah, that definitely helps. And I agree with you guys. You know, a lot of the, you know, people looking for signs and stuff, I think is, you know, some of that's a little out there, and you can definitely get caught up in it. You know, it's a little, almost like a conspiracy theory, some of it, you know, and yeah, just nothing better than just going to the Word and seeing what God told us already. So yeah, hey, thank you guys.
I agree with you 100%. There's certain files I have in my own head I call interesting or fascinating, and that's as far as it goes. And then I just check everything with the Word of God, and that's the greatest confirmation is the Word of God, and that's how it is. We just know and understand. Peyton, thank you so much for the call, and stay on the line. We'll get you those DVDs and booklets and so forth. I know you're going to be blessed with those things. And let's go to Lindsay in Salt Lake City, Utah. Lindsay, how you doing?
I am doing good. How are you guys doing? I'm happy to talk to you, pastors, about this question I have. It's about once saved, always saved, and I don't like calling it that because, you know, in my opinion, you can leave God or have Him, depending upon, you know, what your firm beliefs are. My question has to do with that and the fact I was wondering for scripture verses so I can write them down, because the pastor of the church that I go to, he says that he believes that, and he points to the book of, I believe, Romans. It's either Romans or Hebrews, but I believe it's Romans. And he says that you can't lose it. And he said, I hope we... You know, if we don't see eye to eye on it, at least there's, you know, a way to respect each other civilly. And I said, well, we should be seeing eye to eye because that's the Bible we're discussing. And that God put that book in our hands so we can see eye to eye. There is no debate. You're either saved or you're not. And I don't think He understands that.
Well, good question, Lindsay. And Brad, as you look to this topic of once saved, always saved, as an attorney, as well as one who's a good Christian man who studies the Word of God, what is your sense on this?
Yeah, a number of things come to my mind, but one of the first things that came to my mind was 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 11 through 13. And it says, it is a trustworthy statement. In other words, we can rely on this. It says, for if we died with Him, we will also live with Him. It's a promise. If we endure, we also will reign with Him. So, okay, there's reward. If we deny Him, He also will deny us. So we totally reject Him, deny Him. But 13 is the interesting one. It says, if we are faithless, He remains faithful, for He cannot deny Himself. And we're talking, you know, here, I believe about believers, who stumble. We all stumble. You know, justification is one time we get saved. It's just as if I never sinned, justified through faith in Christ. Sanctification is a long ongoing process where God brings us, you know, from one point to another point in making us more like Christ. So a lot of believers, though, they look at this idea of maybe losing their salvation, they say, well, gee, maybe I sinned one time too many. Maybe I blew it one time too many. I you know, maybe God doesn't love me anymore. Maybe I'm not saved. And that's why I think verse 13 is there. It says, if we are faithless, He remains faithful, for He cannot deny Himself. He cannot deny who He is, what He did on the cross, and the fact that when we become Christians, we become one with Christ, that where we are, He is also. And He will receive us unto Himself. So I think, you know, the important thing for people who are asking this question are generally not people who are turning from God and just rebelling against God. It's usually Christians who have a fear, and that fear can also often be very controlling about, gee, am I good enough? Did I sin too much? And when we say that, basically what we're doing is telling Jesus on the cross what he did wasn't good enough. And we know it was good enough because he said, it is finished. And that, I think, is usually the real question is, are we really putting our faith completely in what Jesus did on the cross, or are we adding to it and allowing Satan to use guilt to somehow cause us to be fearful? And we have fear controlling us. It's not the love of Christ controlling us, and that's what God wants controlling our lives moving forward.
You know, great answer, Brad. And I'll add to that is, Lindsay, when we look to the Word of God also, we look at in the last days, we know there's a church called Laodicea that's with us. It's known as a lukewarm church. They appear to be Christians, but they're truly not Christians. They're not following the Word of God. When we study the Church of Philadelphia, which is the church right before the Laodicean church, which is lukewarm, Jesus says that church makes me sick and I'm going to vomit out of my mouth. But the Philadelphian church is a church that keeps the Word of God and will not deny his name. And the Lord says, I will keep you from the hour of trial that will come upon the whole world. So we realize that a true born-again believer will keep the Word of God and will not deny the name of Jesus. Now, Brad gave a good scripture there out of Second Timothy. And he says, but if you deny me, that Paul writes, if you deny the Lord, then he'll deny you. But if you're faithless, he remains faithful, which is so very true, because there's times in our lives we feel like we're exhausted in our faith, but the Lord remains faithful. He will be there for us. But we never deny the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We never deny him. Now, the Bible says also in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 that there's going to be a great falling away of the faith. Well, people be leaving the Word of God. They're going to be leaving Jesus Christ in the last days, like that Laodicean church that's lukewarm. You're neither hot nor cold, but you're lukewarm. You make me sick. I'm going to vomit you out of my mouth. In fact, they're so lukewarm that they've actually kicked Jesus out of the church. That's why at the end of the passage, it says Jesus stands at the door and he's knocking. If anyone will open their heart and receive him into their heart, receive Christ into their heart, he will sup with them. He'll fellowship with them again. But he's been kicked out of that church. And this is known as the last days church, which becomes the harlot church that mm-hmm. goes into the great tribulation period and will end up worshiping the false Messiah, which is the Antichrist. So it's important for us to realize, if you say the sinner's prayer one day, that there needs to be fruit in your life. In other words, you'll want to study the Bible. You want to read the Bible. You want to know the Lord. You want to grow in your faith. You want to be turned into the image of Christ. And that's the fruitful life. And yet, if a person says the sinner's prayer one day and they don't do anything with it, well, they're pretty much falling under the parable of the sower, where three of those seeds were no good. Only one seed bore fruit 30, 60, 100 fold. But the other three seeds, one was on hardened ground, the other was in shallow earth, the other, because of the cares and riches of this world, it was choked out. The word was choked out. It's because it was just, they just mouthed the prayer, but there wasn't something that was really sincere within the human heart. And that's where we realize the true born again experience, the true believer that is eternally saved, is one that shows the fruit that you love the Lord. You're there to live for the Lord. You're not perfect. None of us is perfect. We all get that. And you're going to continue to go on for Christ until the day you die or the rapture of the church. But the non-believer, the one who just, maybe I could say the make believer, the fake believer, they're going to say the prayer and then they go back into the ways of the world. They continue that sinful lifestyle without any conviction. And then we question, are they really saved? Probably not. What's our goal? To bring them to the cross of Christ and get them truly born again as they realize they need to repent of their sins and live for God. So does that help you out, Lindsay?
Yeah, I just wanted to bring up something that Jesus said, which was that be ready. You don't know when your master comes. And then also where Paul says to, you know, make sure you count yourself worthy. Does this have to do with faith and keeping faith at the time of Yeshua's, like the arrival or the rapture?
Well, it's important for us that we don't walk away from the Lord Jesus Christ nor deny him. And this is why, you know, the Lord knows whose heart is really with him and who's not. And if you're out there getting drunk and wasted and doing drugs and fornicating or committing adultery and living a homosexual life, whatever it might be, I'm equal opportunity pastor, heterosexual, homosexual. If you're living the lifestyle that's against the word of God, like it says in 1 Corinthians 6 or it says in Galatians 5, then I would be very worried about whether or not you're going to go up in the rapture of the church or you're even going to go to heaven, right? So it's important for us to be real in our relationship with Jesus Christ. We're honest. And we're the prayer we said, we meant it, and we want God to change your life. And you know, when you're born again of the Holy Spirit, you have to change. Your life will change. The Holy Spirit's not going to let you off the hook. But right. If there's no change, then you say, were they really born again? We don't know that. Jesus talks about the vine and the branches, and if the branches are bearing fruit, it dies, it withers and dies. It's only good to be cut off and cast into the fire. So we need to be fruit-bearing Christians. And that means that You love the Lord, and you're going to try to live for the Lord, of course, and you want to live for the Lord, and you're going to bear the fruit of the Spirit, and you're going to turn away from the things of the flesh. Now, again, we're not perfect. This is the sanctification process that Brad mentioned earlier, but we want to live for the Lord and serve him with our hearts, go to church, be in fellowship, be in prayer, want to save souls and so forth, make disciples, as the Lord has said, because this is the working of the Holy Spirit in us and through us as born again believers. And this is so vitally important that we walk in the ways of the Lord, and God knows who are his, and he will take us home one glorious day. So this is exciting to realize. So Lindsay, stay on the line. We'll get you those gifts. Sounds like we're due for a break. And folks, we're going to have many more callers calling in right now, and we've got great questions coming up. So stay tuned. We'll be right back.
If you're 65 or older, you know this. Seeing your healthcare costs go up and up is frustrating. And maybe you were just notified that your Medicare costs are increasing again, or you're just tired of the massive deductibles. Well, here's some good news. There's a program that can really help with this. It's MediShare 65 Plus. It's an affordable, reliable alternative. You can choose any Medicare provider. You get telehealth access anytime you need it. And MediShare 65 Plus is a low-cost option for those with Medicare Parts A and B, and it fills in the gaps where Medicare stops. MediShare is a Christian healthcare community that aligns with your faith. People actually pray for you. They encourage you. And it's proven, too. It's been going strong for over 30 years now. So call now. You can get one low monthly price for up to 10 years. You're not stuck with increasing costs. You can do something about this today. Call MediShare 65 Plus. Find out how much you can save. Call 833-90-SHARE. That's 833-90-SHARE. 833-90-SHARE.
Are you ready to study to show yourself approved? A workman not ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth? In this sad, lonely, and lost generation, people need help. They need Jesus. And who can present the gospel better than you? Calvary Chapel University wants to be a helper of your joy, so you can go out and make disciples who make disciples. Go to calvarychapeluniversity.edu and apply today, and you'll earn outstanding scholarships. Most of our CCU graduates graduate early or on time, debt-free, and sound doctrinally. Go to calvarychapeluniversity.edu and apply today. Skip Heitzik is one of our faculty members, and David Guzik is not only a board member, but he just earned his Master of Divinity at CCU. Go to calvarychapeluniversity.edu and apply today, and watch God move powerfully in your life.
Good to be with you. This is Pastor Darrell Skinner filling in for Mike Kessler, and I'm hosting the program today from Honolulu, Hawaii, and it's exciting. We have Brad with us today, Brad Dacus of Pacific Justice Institute, and what a blessing it is to have you on board today, Brad, and just talking about not only legal issues but biblical issues for the Christian life. And right now, Brad, I wanted to ask you, as we look to this election that's coming up and so forth, And all the things they're trying to do to indict President Trump and so forth. What is your sense on all this and where we're headed with this kind of weaponization of our legal and justice system and how it's being used against the former president? What are your thoughts?
Yeah, and it's really difficult sometimes for people to look at this because they have their own personal feelings about Trump or about Biden or about the Republican Party, about the Democrat Party. But I encourage people to sort of try to step back and look at the big picture and the precedent that we're looking at. And that is, in the past, our nation has never been one where, you know, if you decided to run for office, you had to fear, the district attorney, of the other party, you know, who's a part of the other political party coming after you, finding a pretext to sue you simply because and solely because you're running for office. That's not a part of American history. It's a part of South American history, Central American history, and other countries. It's not a part of the United States until now. And now, and it's not just Trump that's dealing with this. We've actually, so there's other people who are being targeted because of their political position and their political aspirations in this country. If this carries through, it could be disastrous on the short term in terms of the American people giving up complete trust in our political system, our election system. If we have a candidate, you know, thrust behind bars so he can't run for president, the same way Putin does, the same way Venezuela and other countries do. But in the long term, my big concern is the extent to which people of political obsession will see this as an opportunity to intimidate other opponents, whether you're an attorney general and a governor wanting to squash the opposition from another party in a state, or a district attorney wanting to prevent someone from running for school board, so they go after them and find pretext to sue them. It's extremely dangerous. Every American should be outraged. I looked at these cases to say, hey, is there anything really credible about these that would cause him to be prosecuted had he not been running for president? No, every single one of them is completely clear. It is because he's running for president and the opposing party wants to put him behind bars, Venezuelan style. It is outrageous and is a serious threat to the entire credibility of our election system and, for that matter, the future of our nation.
You know, Brad, as we look to what's happening, we see that so many of these attorney generals or district attorneys have been funded by the George Soros organization, and they've been funded and they've gotten elected. And then we see these decisions, whether it be against Trump or January 6th situation, whatever it might be. And it's very important that I see, and you can please add on to this, is that we as believers, as everyone needs to be registered to vote, and we all need to vote righteously to keep the corruption out of our cities and out of our states and so forth and out of the nation. And, so many times you hear at the end of an election, so many Christians are in this country, but they're not voting or they're not even registered to vote. What is your feelings on these things and the value and the importance of everyone getting involved in the political process? I'm saying, well, I'm a Christian. I'm a citizen of heaven. Why should I even care? But what is your thoughts, Brad?
Yeah, well, you know, God raises up, God brings down. We know the outcome. Revelation never changes after an election. So it's not because we need to preserve the final outcome of the book of Revelations. No, instead it's really our testimony. The way I see it, and I talked to a group of pastors earlier today about this, if the church is filled with the love of Jesus, then they can't help but care for people outside their church walls. And if a person truly cares about people outside their church walls, they're going to vote. Voting says, I care. And voting righteously, biblically, says, I care because of the love of Christ in me, and I want to glorify my Heavenly Father. So when we don't vote, we're still voting. We're still acquiescing to others to give authority to future leaders. You know, I once talked to a pastor, and he told me, he said, "Well, I didn't vote the last election because, you know, one candidate, of course, I didn't like his policies, clearly were unbiblical, but the other candidate said something, 15 years ago that was caught on video, and it was just offensive and outrageous. So I decided I'm not going to vote for either one." And, I started thinking about it. I thought, you know, if his daughter was dying and she needed critical medicine, and the candidate B, the one that said something offensive on video 15 years ago, if that candidate was in favor of getting that drug passed and would save his daughter's life if he was elected, would he vote for him? Would he vote for him then? And the answer would be yes, of course he would. What if a girl was five doors down, some neighbors had a girl just like that? Would he vote to save that girl's life for that candidate who said something offensive? Yeah, probably. Well, what if we're talking about over 130,000 preborn babies' lives that have been saved, but for only the election of what happened in 2016, resulting in three changes on the Supreme Court, reversing Roe versus Wade, which is now saving countless numbers of innocent babies, preborn babies' lives? Would that be enough? And the answer should be yes. And it's really a matter of self-piety, selfishness, not really looking at the consequences of how they're impacting, how an individual candidate and their policies are going to impact in biblical proportions in terms of our schools, and the radical LGBTQ indoctrination, violating parents' rights, parents losing their kids because they're Christians. We have cases like that right now. So we need to be responsible and let the love of Christ control us and know that it's a part of our testimony. If we're not watching it, don't worry. Secular society and political pundits, they're watching to see if Christians vote. And so I think it's more a matter of our testimony more than anything else.
Powerful, powerful stuff you just shared with all of us today. You know, folks, as we look to this upcoming election, you might not like everything about the candidate of choice. And I mean that righteously from the right. And you know what? He'll do a good job. He's brought in those three Supreme Court justices and will stand up for the Constitution and the conservative way, if you will. And it's vitally important that we defend our country. So many have spilled their blood for our country. And to register to vote, make sure you're registered to vote. So let's make a plan this month. Get yourself registered to vote. And then let's go vote in a right manner. And when I say that, I mean on the right side of voting. Because it's so important for us to do this. Because you know what? We have a baton to hand over to our children. Is there going to be a baton of corruption? Or it should be a baton that we hand over with faith and family and the values that we hold so dear to our hearts that God has given us. There really is only one perfect candidate. His name is Jesus, but we can't put him on the ballot. Wish we could. It'd be a marvelous thing. One day he will return and he will be the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. But anyway, great word there, Brad. Thank you so much. Let's go to Kate in Meridian, Idaho. Kate, how you doing today?
I'm doing okay. How about yourself?
Doing great. Thank you. How can we help you out?
So my soon-to-be ex-husband is a part of the Masonic Lodge, and he claims to be Christian and stuff. His fruits don't show that, but I also have kids that are highly influenced by their dad. And I'm just curious if you guys have any books or websites or anything to help me educate myself for if it comes time to him trying to get my kids, probably my son, to join the Masonic Lodge. Anything that you guys that will help with that? Like any books or websites that would help to do that?
Sure. You know, Brad, are you familiar with Freemasonry at all and any insights on that?
Yeah. I will say this. There's many, many, many Christians across the country who are Freemasons. They love the Lord. In fact, in the South, a lot of Southern Baptists are Masons. So I don't look at it as, you know, you're pledging yourself to Satan if just because you're a Freemason. However, I don't encourage anyone necessarily to be a Freemason for a couple of reasons. Number one, if you understand what they believe, it is very religious, and it's not founded on the gospel. It's not founded on faith in Christ. It's a nice try, but it doesn't meet the scriptural definition and criteria for truth in terms of faith is concerned. And if you go up the hierarchy and you see what the Masons are about in their history, it's not what I would call in any way paralleled with the teachings of the gospel, which is salvation through faith in Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone. So that's one. Second is there's so much more we can do as Christians biblically to build up the church and the body of Christ. And, I know someone approached me about being a Mason and joining the Masons. I said, I'm too busy being a part of the work of the church and building up God's kingdom than to be a part of something else. I just don't have time for. So I wouldn't condemn anyone as in challenging their faith because they're a Freemason. By no means, I would not do that. It is not something that is, I think, worth the time, and definitely something that I would discourage people getting too caught up in because of the past and the history and what it actually stands for from a religious perspective.
Yeah, also as we look to Freemasonry, many people that belong to Masons, they don't realize the depths of what it is to get to that place of was it 33 degree Mason and so forth, and also the oaths and the pledges that they take, which are ungodly. And it's very important that that we maintain a life that's as clean as possible, if you will. And to get involved with a group, when you get into the depths of their understandings and teachings, it finds itself with some very unbiblical ideas. There's a website called Apologetics, and just put in Apologetics Freemasonry. They have some good articles on Freemasonry. I think it'll give you a good overview on that. And Brad hit it on the head is to let's just get involved in what God has for us within the church itself and not in some other club, so to speak. There's no need for it. And especially Freemasonry has a lot of negative aspects of it when it comes to the Word of God. So let's be cautious and careful in regards to that. So hopefully that gives you some help there, Kate, and we can get you those other items to you, the DVDs, as well as we have Atheist Delusion for you, as well as Pastor Mike Kessler's book, It's Time to Grow, 101 Prophecies, and so forth. And I know that'll bless you and help you grow also. But go to the Apologetics, type in Masonry or Freemasonry, and you'll have some really good information on that, and you can share with your children and so forth. And we'll certainly keep you in prayer regards to your situation. Does that help, Kate?
Yes, thank you very much.
All righty. God bless you. You have a great day, and thank you for calling. Let's go to Paul in Fort Worth, Texas. Paul, how are you doing today?
Very good. Got a simple question, which is kind of convoluted, but maybe you could shed some truth. When I was growing up in the 70s or 80s, the Vera chip came out, and this was supposed to be the working piece for possible the mark of the beast being embedded into people. But after COVID, I've been hit with things coming into my email from people that are reputable, but where they got them from, I don't know. But the long and short of it is, and this is a question to you guys, COVID shut everything down, including the churches. And so everybody was supposed to be mandated to take the vaccine. My understanding is there was a point where a major evangelist had shunned off everyone receiving some type of a mark in their hand. And I believe it was 25 red states that filed it in the Supreme Court, and the others, whatever. But it's neither here or there. My concern is, have you heard or is there any notion that another wave of some type of vaccine would be pushed forward and you would not be able to buy, sell, or trade until you took the vaccine. And the way I understand it is if you took this vaccine, you would become somewhat like a Nephilim type of individual. Now, I know it sounds crazy, but, you know, it's funny how the mind works, but maybe you could shed some light on this.
Well, you know, Paul, I don't think you're going to become a Nephilim. I don't think that's going to work. You know, it's kind of like fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. When it comes to the shutdowns and all the things that took place in the previous COVID vaccination programs that we had, you know, in retrospect, we see the destruction of children's educations. We see the destruction of businesses and so forth. And we see the empowerment, the destructive empowerment of a political party over another through this vaccination, the shutdown. Now, when it comes to the mark of the beast, biblically speaking, that will take place at the halfway point of the 7 years of tribulation. The Bible is very explicit that the church, the bride of Christ, will not go into the tribulation period, but will be raptured up before the tribulation. The Antichrist will then make a covenant with Israel for 7 years. At the midway point, 3.5 years in, he will break that covenant after the temple's been rebuilt and the Jews have started to perform their sacrifices unto Yahweh. He will stop that. He will commit what's called the abomination that makes desolate, or the abomination of desolation, Revelation chapter 13. And he says, now the whole world must worship me. You Jews cannot worship Yahweh. Anyone that wants to worship Yahweh or Jesus Christ will be killed. And now your allegiance to me will be that you must take the mark of the beast. So it'll be an establishment of a specific mark. How is it, will it be? What will it be exactly when we receive it? It'll be, we know it's 666 and so forth. It's going to be on your right hand and on your forehead. So there's some kind of visible, whether it be a chip or a tattoo or something, it'll be visible that way. And it could be invisible and still used with a scanner, but it'll be placed on those two places of the human body. Because the Bible's very explicit in regards to that. So the Bible's not saying it's going to be like a vaccine, but it is going to say that it is something that's an allegiance to the Antichrist. Now, we as Christians, we will not be here. And that's the good news. Right. God will not send the bride of Christ into the wrath of God. The wrath of God will take place during the tribulation period. Now, with our current time, we had the pandemic of in the very beginning of the COVID disease and so forth. And it started off, people were dying here and there and all over. And then we were trying to do our best to scramble and get a vaccine so we could save people. And that was under Trump. And then the Democrats came in power, and then they, you know, power corrupts. Absolutely. Right. So then this corruption took place. Now we're shutting down all these businesses and people's lives and churches. And we went with it for a while. Then we realized, wait a minute, this has got to stop. This is wrong. And I don't know, for us as a church, we reopened as quickly as we could once we came to the realization this is not right. It's infringing on our First Amendment, and we've got to take control of this situation, which means we open up, we start worshiping the Lord, and we do what God wants us to do, which is to follow him. But the world itself saw a great opportunity in the shutdown, and we also see that how this can happen in the last days in the tribulation, where no one can buy or sell unless they have the mark of the beast. So I see it as a preview, if you will, of what will happen. And it's a wake up call for us as a people in America that we don't want this to happen to us again. Now, they are talking about a future disease X, which is interesting, a disease X that may just come upon us again from who knows where, but probably China. And of course, you know, it would be interesting if it also comes out here at the time of the election for 2024. But corruption is with us today. But Brad, you want to add to all this?
Yeah, I think you're right. Corruption is definitely with us. And, you know, I'd like to say surely we've learned our lesson and we will never allow this kind of tyranny to happen. But, you know, I'm disappointed. I thought after 2 weeks it would be over. And my wife said, no, it's going to last longer than that. And boy, was she right. So, but I do believe, optimistically that we have learned and that, people will not allow this kind of tyranny, at least in this country, to happen again. You know, we've seen it was, not just an abuse of power, but a breach of trust, egregious breach of trust, when we're giving information that prevents transmission. Now we know it didn't prevent transmission, that it's not going to hurt anyone. It's not harmful. There's been a more than 13,000% increase in kids aged 12 to 19 that have myocarditis. And we see them falling dead on the soccer fields. We've never seen that before. So, I think our society's learned from it, and apparently, the overwhelming majority of Americans are not getting another vaccine for COVID or the boosters. I think it was like 11% at best, what I've heard. So, hopefully we've learned from it and will not allow it to happen again. But nonetheless, I think the will of the people to stand up against injustice has been weakened. We allowed that to happen. Next question is, in what other way is government going to try to move in on our lives, our privacy, our freedom, our liberties? We at Pacific Justice are taking it very seriously, needless to say.
Amen. Doing a fantastic job. Paul, stay on the line. We'll get you those DVDs and pamphlets right away. And thank you for a great call and a great question. Let's go to Kathy in Ellensburg, Washington. Kathy, what you got for us today?
Hello?
Hello, are you there? Yes, we're here.
I am here. Okay, I have a couple questions for you. And Exodus 24 and 5, how it says that we're not supposed to have any kind of graven images or made images of anything above the earth, below the earth, under the water and whatnot. And I would like to know about the Jesus hanging on the cross, how churches have that hanging right above where the Pope speaks. Wouldn't that be like an idol?
Well, it could be an idol, Kathy, if you want to bow down and just worship the item itself. But many people might wear a cross around their neck, and it becomes a testimony of what they believe in. They believe in Jesus. Now, there's other people that do wear a cross. They don't even believe in Jesus, but it's like the ornamentation of it. But I think anything that we would bow down to or think superstitiously that is going to bring us good luck, that would be idolatry. But many times it's just a testimony that Christ, the Son of God, went to the cross and died for our sins. It's a picture, if you will, not necessarily an idol. It's a picture of what he did for us. And and even the better news, not only did he die on the cross for our sins, but he rose from the grave, and he offers all who believe in him everlasting life. So that's how I would view it. And, you know, Kathy, stay on the line. We got some gifts for you. We'd love to give you these DVDs and pamphlets. And bless your heart. And we'll try taking a couple more calls before we have to end the program. So let's go to Brandon in Dallas, Texas. Brandon, how you doing?
I'm doing great. How are y'all?
Doing great, thank you. How can we help?
Yes, I would just like to ask, I know that there were books taken out of the Bible because they weren't inspired, so they say, but at the same time, they are referenced in other parts of the Bible, like 2 Samuel chapter 1, verse 18, it mentions Jashar. And so I was just wondering, why would it mention those if they were never meant to be in the Bible?
One of the big problems is that they are books that were not considered what's called canon, inspired by God. They had sometimes they were inaccurate with their historicity or from the aspect of not being quoted by the New Testament apostles or the Lord Jesus Christ. And so they were removed, and the Jews considered them non-canonical as well as non-inspired, and so has majority of the Christian church. Unfortunately, Catholic Church has included them, but they're not considered part of it. Some of these quotations are found in interesting ways, but the whole book itself is not that which is deemed to be truly inspirational or one that would point toward Jesus as the Messiah. Brandon, stay on the line. We're almost out of time. I apologize. Stay on the line. We'll get you those DVDs and pamphlets. And Brad, what advice would you give in these last days as we look to our own country and the legal system? What would you recommend for Christians to do?
Vote is first off. Vote and talk to your church and see if they can have a voter registration Sunday. And just encourage your pastor to preach the word and apply the full word of God to the challenges of the day, and never give up. God promises a happy ending.
Thank you, Brad, so much. It's been a joy being on with you today. And folks, great questions coming in. May you have a beautiful week in the Lord, and invite that unsaved friend to church this weekend, and let's go for God. God bless.
To find out more about this ministry or to receive a copy of today's program, please call 1-800-357-4226 or write us to Every Man an Answer, P.O. Box 391, Twin Falls, Idaho, 83303. That toll-free number is 1-800-357-4226. Subscribe to the free podcast on iTunes by searching for To Every Man an Answer in the iTunes store, or visit us online at csnradio.com/TEMA. To Every Man an Answer is a production of CSN International, the Christian Satellite Network. The opinions expressed by our guests may or may not be those of CSN International or of this station.